Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Shebad in honor of his parents, Jack and Marilyn. Hashem alehem yichyu, amen. Today's daf is being studied le'anu nishmat acham baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden, amen. We begin tonight's Gemara on daf ayin tet amud sheni, two lines from the bottom. Amar amemor, ha name sabe de pumpedita amrinu. The following statement was also made by the elders of Pumpedita. What did they say? The itmar ezehu ashera setam. We have a asherah, which is a tree that is used to worship, is worshipped for avodah zarah. So there's a type of asherah that's called ilan setam, asherah setam, which means you're not sure if they worship it for avodah zarah or not, but still it is asur. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the test to know if an asherah is forbidden without you knowing that they served it? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, kol shemisharte avodat gilulim shomrim ota ve'en to'amin mepiroteha. Rav says, so long as you see the people that they're very careful not to eat from the fruits of this tree. So therefore you know, must be they're keeping it for avodah zarah, because the fruits are considered, let's say, holy for them. So therefore, that's already a litmus test to know that it's an asherah. Because if they weren't serving it, they would eat from the fruits. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Kegon de Amre, if the people would say, Hani Tamre l'shechra de ben nitzrefe, they come along and say that we're using the dates from this tree in order to make beer, in order to go serve it at the temple that they would call Ben Nitzrefe. That was one of the temples of the Goyim. It's just an example. So therefore, if according to Shmuel, even if they eat the fruits from the tree, but if they say that certain fruits from the tree are going to be used to make beer to bring to Ben Nitzrefe, then already you know that this tree is indeed an Asherah as well. The Shatule, they would drink it Biyom Hagam, that they drink this item on their holiday. And therefore, exactly, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Who's the halakha follow? The elders of Pumpedita said, halakha follows Shmuel, that that's what makes an asherah, that if the people, even they eat the fruits, but they designate the fruits and they say we're going to make beer out of it to go to Ben Tzrefet, to Avodah Zarah place, that already you know is an asherah. Comes the Gemara and continues. We learned earlier on the previous daf that if, let's say, one of the members of the Hatzer or the Mavui is going to make Shitufim Mivuot by taking a barrel of wine or food, and he's going to be Mizakeh everybody in the Hatzerot in this barrel in order to make a Shituf to allow them to carry in the Mavui itself. So the Gemara said that part of the process is they have to lift it up from the ground, a tefah, in order to make the kinyan. So the Gemara now is going to challenge that. The Gemara asked the question of Zanav Yehuda. How do you make a shituf in a mavui? You take wine, oil, dates, figs, or for that matter, any other type of peri. Im mishelo, if let's say the food belongs to the mizakeh, between so the one that's placing the shituf, the one that's making the acquisition, tzarich lezakot. So then he has to actually mizakeh it. He has to gift it to the members of the mavui. Again, in order for the mavui to be allowed to carry in it, everybody has to have an equal partnership in the food. So therefore, if he's using his own food, so it has to belong to others. So what does he have to do? He has to be mezakeh it to the to other members. So the Gemara says, "V'imi mishilahin," and if the food belongs to them, he happens to have a barrel of food that everybody happened to put a piece of food in the barrel. Then the Gemara says, "Sarich lehodia." Then already, all he has to do is just make them aware that he's going to use this for the shituf, because halakha says that if you don't get their permission, they might not want anybody eating from that fruit or that food. And in order to have a shituf, everybody has to have rights now to eat that food. And if these guys for some reason don't want their food to be eaten, so then already, even though their food is in the barrel, they're considered desisting from the shituf. So therefore, when it's their food, sarich leodia alahin, you have to actually tell them. Let's read that Nashi inside, second line in Nashi. Sarich leodia im hafetzim bekach, if they want to use their food for their eruv, shimme makpidin be'eruvin, because maybe they're makpid. The amar, and we learned earlier, makpid al eruvo eno eruv. Why? She'eno tzara be'ota pat liten nahavero, because he's miserly that he doesn't want to give his bread to his friend. Aval mishelo en sarich lehodio. But if the guy is using his own food to be mezakeh for everybody else, he doesn't have to tell them. Why? It's a zechut for them, the other members, to be part of the shitu so they can carry. So therefore, I can take my own food and mezakeh them to be part of it. They don't get hurt by now having a piece of the action of the Havit. On the contrary, they benefit because now they can carry in the mavui. But when it's their food, and I come along and say, okay, now this food over here is going to be collectively a shituf for everybody else. You have to tell them. You don't have to be mezakeh because it's their food already. You just have to let them know, listen, we're using your food for eruvin. So comes the Gemara and says, umagbiya minakarka mashehu. And then the Gemara says that the one that's going to make the kinyan, I mean, we learned earlier in the Mishnah, you cannot make the kinyan yourself, you have to give it to a third person. And they lift it up. So the Gemara here says that they lift it up from the karka mashihu. Oh, we just said a tefah. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, my mashihu named the kamar. What does it mean when we say a mashihu? Tefah. It means a tefah. Which means the Gemara uses lashon mashihu because normally the shi'ud that's usually given is three tefahim. So therefore, when you're comparing the normal shiur of three tefachim, so then you'd say mashu, which is less than three tefachim. But it doesn't mean a mashu at all. It means a tefach's amount. So there's no stira. Now comes the Gemara and says, we learned in our Mishnah that if a person is making shitufim ivot, and he's using his barrel of food, he has to be mezakeit to the other members of the mavui as well. So the Gemara says, itmar. We have a statement. Shitufe mevuot. People are making a shituf in the mavui. Let's just review quickly what shitufe mevuot is. You had hatserot, courtyards, that are opened up into a mavui. Even though everything is enclosed, still in order to carry in the mavui, the hatserot must join together as one unit, because carrying in the mavui is similar to carrying in the reshut harabim, because there's a lot of traffic. So therefore, hachamim were osir for all the people of the mavui to carry goods from their houses into the chatser, into the mavui, unless they made a shituf. The shituf is they collect bread from each one of the chatserot. Now they're considered one resident, one collective resident in the mavui, and therefore they can carry. So the Gemara says, itmar, shitufim mivuot. Let's say one fellow is making the shituf for everybody. Like again, he has the barrel, and he has his food there. The Gemara says, Rav Amar, Rav says, "En sarich lezakot." Rav's opinion is, he just has to take the barrel. He does not have to actually go through the halachic way of gifting an object to everybody else. He doesn't have to give it to a third party, to lift it up the ground, the tefah, which is all the Jews have to say is, this is for the people in the chatzir. It's enough. En sarich lezakot. Now, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, sarich lezakot. Shmuel argues, Shmuel says, no. You actually have to make the acquisition, meaning give it to the third party, lifts it off the ground, a tefah. Now, Erubet Tehumin, when it comes to the Eruv Tehumin, which means, we learned in the earlier Perakim, in order to walk outside the tomb. So you have 2,000 amot from the city, but let's say you want to carry 2,000, you want to walk 2,000 amah further on one side. So you place, let's say, bread before Shabbat on that spot. So you have 2,000 amah from where your eruv is, in that direction. And therefore, let's say somebody is being mezakeh eruv for somebody else. They're not doing it for themselves, they're taking their food, and they're going to make their eruv for somebody else. So in that case, the Gemara says, when you're making eruv tehomin, let's say, from your own food for somebody else, Rav Amar, in this case, Rav says, Sarik lezakot. In this case, the opposite. Rav says, you actually have to make kinyan, Ushmuel Amar, and Sarik lezakot. And Shmuel says, the opposite. In this case, you do not have to make a zechiyah. Now we have to try to understand for a second the rationale. So let's go back to Rav's opinion. Why, when it comes to shitufim mivuot, Rav says en sarich lezakot, but when it comes to eruvet tehomin, Rav says sarich lezakot. So Tosafot actually gives three different pirushim to explain the difference. One difference is like this. Well, let's see it in inside actually. Rav Amar. That's the top Tosfot. Rav Amar in Sarich Lezakot. Right, that's the case of Shetufim Mevuot. The Kevan de Asar Ale Gamar Umaknele. ובתחומין צריך לזכות דלא אסר עלה ולא גמר ומקנה. So what's an interesting סברה here? When you're a member of the Mavui, if you don't make this acquisition, you're ruining it for yourself as well. You cannot carry as well. So you have a stake in this acquisition. You want the members of the Hatzer to have ownership of this mavui, of this havit, of the goods in this havit, not only to allow them, but to allow you as well. Because if they don't have a kinyan in it, you can't carry. So therefore, you could assume when he says, I'm makne it, he means it b'levav shalim. He means it full-heartedly. And then you don't actually have to go make the kinyan. Mm-hmm. Which is, the whole thing of the kinyan is to make it that it's obvious that he's gifting it. But when you know when he says I'm giving it to them, he means it because he wants to carry himself. But in the case of eruvet tehomin, we don't have that sevara because he's making the eruv for somebody else. It doesn't affect him. He's carrying. He's walking on Shabbat wherever he's walking. Yeah. He's just putting the eruv over there from his own stuff for somebody else. In that case over there, it's not that he has a stake in it to benefit. So therefore he actually have to make a kinyan in order to be mezakeit for the somebody else. So that's the sevara in Rav. Now we have to understand the reverse sevara in Shmuel, where Shmuel holds that when it comes to shitufeh mivuot, adrabah, shitufeh, you have to be mezakeh, but eruvet tehomin, no. So Tosfot gives, that's where he gives three different interpretations. We'll say one of them. One interpretation he says is like this. We learned earlier that eruvet tehomin are only done to extend a person's borders with tzorich mitzvah. Which means stam on Shabbat, if a guy just wants to walk 2,000 amah more on one side, he cannot make eruvet tehomin. Eruvet tehomin was only said if you have a tzorich mitzvah to walk to one side more than the other. So therefore, Shmuel's logic is like this. Since eruvet tehomin is only done for a mitzvah, so the guy who's being mezakeh for his friend, of course he wants to give it to him, because it's tzorich mitzvah. You don't have to make a kinyan to actually give it. Just by saying, I'm gifting it to him by putting my eruv in that spot for him, so already it's enough. Everybody wants to be mezakeh their friend for tzorich mitzvah. Whereas eruvet, hatzorin, shitufim, mivuot, you don't have to join it specifically for tzorich mitzvah, even where it's not for tzorich mitzvah. Even for devrei chol, you want to carry stam, because you want to carry, not for a mitzvah purpose. So in that case over there, then already you actually have to be mezakeit mamash. Then already we don't have that sevara to say, for a mitzvah, he wants to give it over. So that's one interpretation. Which we give a third interpretation. Third interpretation, or the second one we're saying here, but it's the third one in the Tosafot.
He says like this, Eruve Techumin can only be done middato. Meaning, you can't make an Eruv Techumin for somebody without getting his express consent. It means, it makes sense. How can I pick an Eruv Techumin? Now I go to the guy in Shabbat, and by the way, I set your Eruv over here. You can only walk on the side. Who asked you? Who asked you to lock me in on the side over here? So Eruv Techumin, you have to get his permission. So what happens, obviously, before Shabbat, the guy tells him, all right, I'm interested. So already, once you're getting his consent, where he's saying, I want the Eruv, and the guy before Shabbat saying to him, alright, I'll handle it for you. So then already, it's Mekveh, you have already two sides. Masha'en Ken, when it comes to Shetufei Mevuot, where Shetufei Mevuot can even be done, Shiloh Medat, so then already, since it can be done Shiloh Medat, so then you didn't have his consent before Shabbat, go do it for me. So then you actually have to be Mekveh. So that's the Sevara of Shemuel. The last Sevara is that there's a difference between where the acquisition takes place between Shetufei Mevuot and Eruvei Techumin. Shetufei Mevuot, where does the Habit have to be? In a Chatzit, in a private dwelling. It has to be in a private area. Masha'enkin Eruvei Techumin can be, it's an Efker. It's in the middle of the field. So therefore, an item that has to be in a dwelling, in a private area, you have to be Meknet. Masha'enkin, if it's in a Hefker area where the Dov is there, so then you do not have to have a actual Mizakeh. That's a Sivara of Shemuel, that's a Sivara of Rav. So we went through the Sivarot at least. Now comes the Gemara and says, Bishtama l'Shemuel, now we're going to analyze. Makes sense according to Shemuel. That says what? That you need Nizakot by Shetufei Mevuot, meaning he has to actually make the acquisition for them. I think in the English they use the word to confer it to them, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Okay, but you understand what that means. I don't have to use the fancy word. They confer meaning to give to. That's the same word. So the Gemara says, Bishlama l'Shmuel, it makes sense according to Shmuel, Hacha tenan, ve'hacha lo tenan. Which means, our Mishnah that talked about gifting the Shetufei Mevuot to the other members clearly said the word, u'mezakeh lahen. So therefore, Shmuel is very good. Shmuel has a Mishnah to support his theory. So hacha tenan vehacha lo tenan. When you read the Mishnah by Eruvei Techumin, it does not say anything about having to be mezakeh. So therefore, Shmuel is really in line with the inferences and the implications and the statements of the Mishnayot. Ela le'rav ma'itama. But Rav, how does he answer? Because according to Rav, it's the opposite. Our Mishnah that says you have to be mezakeh, Rav says no, by Shetufei Mevuot, you don't have to. And by Techumin, where the Mishnah didn't say anything, he says, but you have to be mezakeh. How does Rav square off the Mishnayot? Now you can answer the obvious answer, Rav Tanahu Upalig, which the Gemara answers many times. Rav is a Tanai, he doesn't have to, he's not bound by the Tanaic opinions of the Mishnah. In truth, the Gemara is going to rely on that answer for one of the questions. But if we can answer, we'd rather answer. So whatever we can answer, we can answer. When we can't answer, we rely on the Sivara of Rav Tanahu Upalig. So the Gemara says, Tanaei. It's actually a Mahloket Tanaim by Eruvei Techumin if you have to be Mezakeh or not. So therefore Rav will subscribe to the opinion that says you have to be Mezakeh. Alright, what about Al-Mishnah with Shetufei Mevuot? Rav Tanahu Upalig. So to square off Al-Mishnah by Shetufei Mevuot, don't bother me with Mahloket with Rav. Not going to argue. But since we found another opinion anyway by Eruvei Techumin that says you have to be mezakeh, so what do you have to say? Rav will go like that opinion. Now, where do we see that opinion? So the Gemara says, "De'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Maaseh bechalato shel Rav Oshaya." There was a story with the daughter-in-law of Rav Oshaya. She'alcha lebet haminhatz. Erev Shabbat, she went to the bathhouse. Okay, the bathhouse was outside of the city. Behashchala. And now what happened? She found herself outside the city. Shabbat came. Now it's forbidden for her to come back because she's outside the tomb. So what happened? Ve'irva la hamota. So her mother-in-law, she already realized that she might be in a problem. So she already prepared their Eruv Tehumin for her daughter-in-law and not allowed to catch for to go home. I mean, she set the Eruv, let's say, you know, away from the Beit HaMinchas, so she can walk to the Beit HaMinchas, to the Eruv, then from there she can walk 2,000 amas so she can get back to the city. So her mother-in-law already prepared it for her before Shabbat. So the case came in front of Yahya on that Shabbat, the Asar. He said, Asur, she cannot rely on that Iruf. Amadu Rabbi Ishmael bin Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Ishmael bin Rabbi Yosef says, Bablae, meaning Rabbi from Babel, Kulkach ata mahmir bidine Irubin. Why, yes, means so mahmir in the laws of Irubin. You have to remember, Iruvet Tehumin is Rabbanan, besides the Akiva, but most opinions hold, it's Rabbanan. What do you mean so mahmir? Kach Amar Abba. So he says, this is what my father said. Rabbi Ishmael saying, this is what my father, Rabbi Yosef, said. Kol sheyesh lecha lehakel be'erubin, hakel. If you have an option, you can be lenient when it comes to the laws of erubin, take the leniency. Go to the lenient side. So now the Gemara wants to add on. That was the story. Now we got to get the details of the story. So the Gemara says, ve'ibayelehu, the Gemara had a question. Michelle Hamota Irbala, whose bread was it? Did the mother-in-law own the bread? Meaning it was her bread. Umishum de lo zichtala. And the reason why the rabbi was against it, that Hayah was osir, because she didn't mizakeh it. She didn't go through the process of giving it to a third party and lifting it up. Was that what the problem was? Odilma Mishela Irbala. Or maybe the issue was, no, the bread really belonged to the daughter-in-law, umishum shelo midata. But the problem was, she didn't know about it. So they want to know, what was Rav Hiya's reason to be osir? Was it because there was no zichiya done on the mother-in-law's bread? Or it was shelo midata on the daughter-in-law's bread? So the Gemara says, "Amar lahena hu mirabbanan v'Rabbi Yaakov sheme lididi mefar shela mina de Rabbi Yohanan mishel hamota irba." The bread belonged to the mother-in-law. Umishum de lo zichta la, and because she did not mizakeh. So what do you see over here? By iruf tehumin, we have an opinion of Rabbi Hayat that says what? You have to be mizakeh. So therefore, now we can say that when we learned earlier, Rav held that by iruf tehumin you have to be mizakeh. So already now we found an opinion which is Rabbi Hayat, and it was said also the name of Rabbi Yohanan. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar l'Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yaakov, Bera de Bat Yaakov. That's an interesting name here. So Rabbi Zerah told Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov. Now, it's usually strange. Usually they give us the father. Now they're giving us over here the daughter.
The grandpa.
So why would they even mention the Bat Yaakov? I know, that she... comes up, thanks, Jaime. That she comes along and answers this question. That she says, Bere de Bat Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, Aviv lo haya hagun, efichach lo iskiro. His father wasn't the man worthy, and therefore he wasn't mentioned. I saw in the Rishonim they mentioned also a different reason. Yeah, this is from the Geonim. Actually, Teshuvat the Geonim, he says here, Lehalalu shmiyaches otam beimotehim. These rabbis that they give the lineage by their mothers. Shayu imotehim gedolot v'hashuvot me'avotehim. He said a little differently, which means the father was okay, but the mother outshined the father. So when the mothers outshined them, they put their mother's name instead. Bere, bera debat. V'ayu bezmanahu yedu'in kach. Rabbi Yaakov bere debat Yaakov. Hu ben achoto shel Nachman. Okay, that was the ben achoto. That was a nephew of Rav Nachman. Okay, in any event, what was the story there? Rabbi Zerah tells Rabbi Yaakov like this, Kimati tatam, when you get over there, Akif vizil, circumvent and go lesulma de tzur. Go to Tzur Heights. That was an area in Bavir. When you get there, go up to the heights of Tzur. And go ask Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi the following she'ela. Ba'amine mishel hamota irba umishum delo zechtala o dilma mishela irba umishum shelo medata. Go get the details of that story. What was the reason why Rabbi Chaya was osir? Was it because it was the mother-in-law's and she wasn't mezaket, or was it because it was hers and it was shelo medata? Amar le. So he answered him when he went there and he got the details. And that was the reason. It belonged to the mother-in-law and they did not make a zechiya. Same reason like we learned above. Amar Rav Nachman. Naktinan. Okay, we have a halakha. Echad erube techumin. Ve'echad erube hatzerot. Echad shetufe mevuot. All the cases of whether it's Eruvet Techumin, Eruvet Hatzerot, Shetufe Mevuot, Sarich Lezakot. So Rav Nachman holds differently than the other opinions. Where we had the Mahloket above, between Rav and Shmuel, right, it was Rav and Shmuel, correct? Here Rav Nachman says you always have to be Mezakeh. Ben Eruvet Techumin, Ben Eruvet Hatzerot, Ben Shetufe Mevuot. Ba'i Rav Nachman. So they asked, Rav Nachman asked, Eruve Tavshilin Sarich Lezakot or Eruv Lezakot. There's one more type of Eruv that's called Eruv Tavshilin. What is Eruv Tavshilin? The Gemara in Betzah discusses it in the beginning, where Halakha says that the rabbis did not want us to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat, when Yom Tov falls out on a Friday. So you need to prepare food on Friday, which normally you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but they did not want you to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat, so for the next day. So therefore the way that they adjust that to allow it is by making it Eruvet Tavshilin. Eruvet Tavshilin is you start to actually cook from before the holiday, you take a cooked food and a baked food, however you do it, and that already is considered that you're just continuing cooking from not on Yom Tov, but from what you started earlier. So the she'ela is, if you don't make Eruvet Tavshilin, you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So now we're discussing, somebody is not going to make the Eruvet Tavshilin, let's say. So some guy, a third party comes along and says, you know what? I'll be Mezakeh. I'm setting up the Eruv Tavshilin for that person. So the question is, do you have to be Mezakeh it or not? Do you actually have to lift it off the ground? Or is it up just to say, you know, I'm giving it to them? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Umay Tevaileh. What's your question? What kind of question does Rav Nachman have regarding the law of Eruvet Tavshilin? Lo shami ale had amar Rav Nachman bar Rav Ada amar Shmuel Eruvet Tavshilin sarich lezakot. What kind of question is that? You didn't hear the statement that clearly says that Eruvet Tavshilin you don't have to, that you do have to make a zichia. Amale Abaye, so Abaye says, what Abaye says, what are you giving him a hard time for? Peshita de lo shami'ale. Obviously he didn't hear it. Which means if he's asking the question, so that means he didn't hear it. De'i shami'ale, ma'itib'ale. If he heard it, what's he asking? Abaye says, you didn't hear the statement, what kind of question is that? Abaye says, what do you want? Obviously if he's asking the question, he didn't hear it. Amale, so Abaye says, this is what I meant to tell him. Atu Eruvet Techumin Milo Amar Shmuel En Sarich Lezakot. Didn't you hear already the Mahloket between Rav and Shmuel or Rav Nachman? You know your opinion. Shmuel was the one that argued on you. When it came to Eruvet Techumin, he said En Sarich Lezakot. Right? That was Shmuel's opinion. The Amar Ihu, and still Rav Nachman argued and said what? Sarich Lezakot. And therefore, just like your Mahmir on Eruvet Techumin against Shmuel, so obviously you're Mahmir as well on Eruvet Tavshilin, which is just like you're Mahmir on Eruvet Techumin, you must be Mahmir also on Eruv Tavshilin. So comes the Gemara and says, what's the connection? Hachi Hashta? But just because he's Mahmir on Eruvet Techumin, to say Sarich Lezakot, that means automatically he's going to be Mahmir on Eruvet Tavshilin? Bishlama Hatam Paligi Rav Shmuel. Over there you have a Mahloket between Rav and Shmuel. Vekamash ma'alan ki chumrin demor vechi chumrin demor. Rav Nachman took the chumrot of both Rav and Shmuel. Meaning he said, you have to be mezakeh in shetufei mevuot and in erubet techumin. He took the chumrot of both. However, aval hacha, but here, I ita deshamiyale, if he heard Shmuel make a statement by Eruvet Tavshilin, Mi'ika demand de palik, is there anybody that argues on it? Which means nobody argues on that statement. Shmuel's the only one that made the statement. And therefore, if he heard the statement, he would have said it. Which means that's the only shita out. And therefore there's no chumrah opinion. When it came to Rav and Shmuel's statements, there's two opinions, right? Rav is Mekil in one case, Shmuel is Mahmir in one case, etc. So what did Rav Nachman do? He took a rule, go to Humrot according to everybody. So when it came to that, he took the Humrot. If there was another opinion out there regarding an Ubet of Shilin, and Rav Nachman heard it, he would have taken it. Ela, from the fact that he's asking the question, must be what? He didn't hear any statements. And therefore you tell me that Shmuel made the statement that you need to be Mezakeh? Good. So also that you need to be mezakeh by Eruv Tavshilin as well. So that's the deen of Rav Nachman. Comes out according to Rav Nachman, you have to be mezakeh everything across the board. Tehumin, Hatzerot, Mevuot, and Tavshilin. Comes the Gemara and says, story now. Good. Gemara tells a story. Yahu Truzina. Truzina, as she says, is Nochri. It's a Gentile. Haya Memune al Kli Zayin. He was in charge of the ammunition. Ha'asuin Shmirat Ta'ir Lehillahim al Tsarim. He was in charge of the munitions of the city. Vedar Ba'ir. And he happens to live in the city. Da'ava B'Shibbute de Rabbi Zera. He lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zera. Problem is now, they needed to rent his property from him. As we learned earlier, when you're living in a Hatzer with a Goy, the only way to be allowed to carry in the Hatzer is, the Goy does not have the ability to mevatel reshut. The only inyan is you have to rent his property from him. Okay, so what happened? Amar le, so Rabbi Zera tells him, Ogir lan reshutach. He tells him, ah, could you rent me your property? Lo ogir lehu. He didn't want to rent it. Atu lekamed Rabbi Zera. So they came in front of Rabbi Zera. Amru le, mahu lemegar medibitu. Could we make the transaction with his wife? Which means we'll bypass him. Forget about the girl. We'll go to his wife and we'll get her to rent it. Amar lehu, hachi amar lishlakish, mishamed de gabra rabba. The Shakish said the following halakha in the name of a great man, Umanu, Rabbi Hanina, Ishto shel Adam me'arevet shelo midato. By a case of a Jew, let's say, where, let's say there's a Jew in the Hatzir, and the husband says, I'm not interested in making the Eruvin, I'm going to be part of it. He ruins it now for everybody else. He doesn't want to be mevatel reshut. He doesn't want to be part of the Eruv, that nobody can carry. So what's the deen? You can go to his wife. Even though he said, I don't want to be part of it, you go to his wife and you make the deal with the wife, she can give the pat, and finished. It's considered aruv. What's the reason why the rabbis did that? Because otherwise a guy will hold everybody hostage. Now if one guy wants to take revenge against the Bnei Hatzir, so he's going to say, I'm not joining in the shituv. Now that's it, he ruins it for them. He says, it's okay. Even though he's saying, I don't want to be part of it, you can bypass and go to his wife. So just like by a Jew, we allow you to go to the wife, even though it's against the wishes of the husband, so do by the Goy. By the Goy, it's even more lenient, because the dirah of a Goy is not considered a dirah. So technically, according to the law, it shouldn't even bother them at all. We just say you have to rent it because we don't want to live with goyim and all that, the whole reason that we said above. So therefore, of course, in this case over here, if the goy said, I'm not interested, it's okay, bypass, we'll be lenient, go to the wife. Okay, that tells another story. Yahu, Turzina. Let me read the word the right way. Turzina. Same story, it's the guy in charge of the ammunition. דאמר בשמותי דרבי יהודה בר הושעיה אמרי לה אוגר לן משותף. So what if it said rent your property to us? לא אוגר להו. He wouldn't. עתו לקמד רב יהודה בר הושעיה אמר לה מהו למגר מדביטון. It's the same question. Can you rent it from his wife? לא אהבה בידה. He didn't know the answer to that. עתו לקמד רב מתנה. לא אהבה בידה. He didn't know the answer to it. עתו לקמד רב יהודה אמר לו אחי אמר שמואל אשתו של אדם מערבת שלא מדעתו. Same answer that he told them above. So comes Gemara now and asks a question. So basically we have two rabbis that said it's okay, Rav Hanina and Shemuel. So the Gemara asks the question on these two rabbis. Metibe, we have a contradiction from a Braita. Nashim she'irbu v'shenishtatefu shelo midat ba'alehen אין עירובן עירוב ואין שיתופן שיתוף. בפירוש ברייתא. The wives did it without their husband's consent. It does not count. It is not legal. How can they say they could go do it? להקשיא. Gemara says no question. הדה אסר, הדה לא אסר. It depends in the scenario. Which means like this. הדה אסר רשי על בני המבוי. If let's say by not getting the bread from that resident, it's going to offset everybody from carrying in the mavui, then already we're lenient. Go, just let the wife do it. Lo ba'inan date. You don't need his permission. Umatnitin bidilo asar. I mean, the braita that said that it doesn't work, it's talking about where it's not asur. Kegon, hasir shebin shne mevuot. Let's say you have a hatsir, right? It's between two mevuot. It's on two sides, right? Virigila imze velo imze. And she's, and let's say this guy, the member of that house, he's accustomed to going in one of the mevuot, and he's not accustomed to going into the other mavui. And therefore, really, this guy's not osed on them, because we remember we learned earlier that only when the member uses this hatzir, but if he uses this mavui, I'm sorry, but let's say he uses the other mavui. And now the other members join themselves, and this guy's not part of it. So why? There's nothing part of it. Because anyway, he's not nagil. He uses mavui. He uses the other mavui. So in this case over here, where he's not osir, so therefore, if the husband doesn't give permission, then already we're not going to allow to go to. Let's say now the guy wants they want to be make him a part of the iruv over there. He's not osir them because they can carry anyway in their mavui. Well, because he's not really ragil. So therefore, in that case over there, we don't let you go around to the wife and go behind him. In the case where you have no option, where it's going to be asur, if you don't allow it, then already the rabbis were lenient. Yeah, that's the case. The asar. And that mishpahaz osir tiltun on the bnei hasin, the lo asar, is that dira is not osir it. Right, even without him, they can carry. Now, what's the reason? Because that family really doesn't carry into that mavui. Right, they don't need that hatseri. You don't need that courtyard. Good. Kavz Gemara now brings a proof to this hiluk. Gemara says, "Hachin ame mistabra." It makes sense to make this hiluk. Deim ken, because if you're not going to make this hiluk, kasha de Shmuel ad Shmuel. Because then you have a contradiction on Shemuel to Shemuel. Because Shemuel was the one that said, you can go around the husband. And if you don't make this Hiluk, you'll see from the next statement, you're going to have a problem. Why? Tamar Shemuel. Because Shemuel said, Ehad mivene mavui, shiragil leshtatef im bene mavui. Which means, you have one of the members of the mavui, he normally is accustomed to walk through this mavui. And therefore, he has to be part of the shituf, because he normally accesses that mavui. The rule by shittu, only the people that access it need to be part of it. But let's say he uses the other side, then they don't have to worry about him. We're talking about a guy here that is ragil lishtatef in b'nei mavui. Ragil lishtatef means he normally walks through that mavui and therefore necessitates to be part of it. And what happened? Ve'lo nishtatef b'nei mavui nechnasim netoch be'al. Ve'lo nishtatef, comma, but he didn't join in. So now he ruins it for everybody else. Because this guy over here normally accesses the mavui. Everybody else joined. This guy didn't. So he ruins it for them. So what does the Shmuel say? Bene ha-mavui nichnasim letoch beto.
The members of the mavui can go into the guy's house.
Ve-notlin shetufan memenu ba'al korho.
Then go take the shituf against his will.
The way the Mefashim explained it, Tosfot explained, but you got to get permission from his wife.
I mean, you got to have somebody's permission. You can't just go take it against everybody's wife. That's a new shita.
Ela what? He doesn't want to give it. Fine. You go to his wife and get permission. But what do you see over here? Who's making the statement?
Now, Shemuel only says it in the case of what?
Ragil.
Because since he's Ragil and he's Osir, then you're allowed to go around the husband to the wife.
So the Gemara makes it the yuk.
Ragil in.
She'en ragil,
lo.
Shmat mina.
Proof positive.
Because if you held that Shemuel holds in all cases you could do it,
so then already he sauteed himself.
Because here he's only telling you ragil.
If he holds in all cases, what's the difference, ragil or inner ragil?
Even if there's not osir, it still should be permissible.
Elaf, from the fact that he only gave the case in a case where the guy's going to osir on the members of the mavui, must be Shemuel makes that
chiluk, as we said.
Comes Gemara, so Shmat mina.
Comes Gemara and says, Lema Messiah le.
We are now going to bring a proof.
Again, to Shemuel's statement.
Kofin oto la'asot lehi vekora lemavui.
Okay. What's the scenario over here?
You made shituf mevo'ot, let's say.
All the hatzerot joined.
Right?
But in order to carry in the mavui, you still need a lehi or a korah.
Because what's a mavui?
It's an alley that's opened up into the neshut harabim.
So with all your shituf, you're still not out of the woods yet. You still have to
make a hekir or a mechitza, however you learn lehi and korah.
So you have to make it on the side.
Now, it seems that everybody has to be part of the lehi and the korah.
You can't just adjust. Everybody's got to be part of it. Mm-hmm.
So this guy says, I'm not interested. I'm not joining in the lehi and the korah.
So what does the Gemara say?
Kofin oto.
You force the guy la'asot lehi and the korah, the mavui.
Which means against his will.
So the Gemara, so what do you see over here?
Because if you don't make the lehi and the korah, you're sitting it on everybody else.
Ah, so since you're sitting on everybody else,
that's why you can force, implying that what? That if it would not osir,
you can't force.
So that's a proof too.
Shmuel's Hailuk.
Gemara says, no proof.
Shani hatam deleka mechitzot.
It's different over there because you don't have walls.
Now what does this mean? Look at Rashi.
Shani hatam deleka mechitzot umavui migulehu.
If you don't make that adjustment of the lehi or the korah,
so the fourth side of the mavui is totally exposed, right?
Ve'eno noach leshomro,
and now the mavui is unprotected, so to speak.
Hilkach kofin oto.
So therefore, not from a halachic aspect of it. This is a inyan, you want to protect the mavui,
so therefore you can force
about lehatir betultul le'olam ema ladibainan da'at.
But here you're living in a hatzer.
You're living in an enclosed area. There's nothing out of Shemitah.
Now you want to halachically change something? You want to allow to carry?
Maybe you need dot.
Just because of this kofin, this is in yad of Shemitah, so to speak.
So therefore, that's what Rashi's saying. Why would we be lenient?
But over there, to allow tiltul,
who said that? The obvious question is, what in the world does a lehi and a korah do for Shemitah?
Right.
You're not building a wall over there. You're just putting a pole that's a kol shehu, or you're putting a cross beam. So that's actually the question of the Rishonim. The Ritba is on Rashi. He leaves it in Sari Chayun. He doesn't understand it. Some have a different grisah over here. The Rishonim, the Tosfot has a different grisah. Our grisah, Shani Hatam Deleka Mechitzot. Right, that's by the Mavui. We said there's no Mechitzot, therefore you can go against his will for the Shemitah. Tosfot in the Ritba's grisah is Shani Hatam Deika Mechitza. That there is a big difference, right? There is walls.
So what does he explain? He explains like this.
That which we said you can force them to put a lehi in the korah is because after you put the lehi in the korah there, So now, this lehi and nekura serve as a mechitza, which means that's like putting up a, it's not a wall, but halakhically has a status of a wall. And therefore, it doesn't bother us that you forced them. Because bottom line, once you put up the lehi and nekura, it's a wall. It counts as a wall regardless. However, by shitufin, which means, how does the shituf work? Shituf is everybody has to be part of the akhila. So if you force him, so he's not part of the akhila. Understand? Which means, to put a leha in the Quran, if I force the guy, so therefore, all right, once I put it up, so it's up. Now already, it's against his will. Doesn't matter. It's up there now. Mitziut is a wall there. So it's adjusted. How can I make an eruv chatzerot or shitufim? What's the logic of shitufim v'ot? He has to be part of it. If I'm going against his will, you can't say, what, mitziut, the food is here. What do you mean, the food's here, but not part of it. It's got to have a chalik in it. Once I got the pole up, so if, even if it's against his will, just, it sounds like it doesn't have to be monetarily part of it. I mean, he's not giving you permission to put it up. And once I put it up around him, so finish me. The mechitza is there. So that already could explain the chinuk. In any event, those are the two gnisaot. Comes again what Ran says. Okay. And I just wanted me to stop till Safot inside. Pirish the benutam. דינו דקופין אותו לעשות לחי וקורא דמהני מחיצות להטיל את טלטל בתוכו אף הפי שנעשו בעל כורחו של אדם. A wall is a wall, even if it's against his will. ולודמי לעירוב. דבן הבא משום דירה או בן משום קניין, however you want to say the עירוב is working, אין לו לועיל בעל כורחו של אדם. It doesn't work like that. ובקונטרס לא פירש כן. Obviously, to קונטרס she had a different גרסה over there. And that's what explains that she... So בספרים דגריס שאני הטם דלקה מחיצות והקוראת ראשית גרסה לקה מחיצות יש לפרש כן, we can explain like this תכי לקה מחיצות which is when you don't have the מחיצות let's say in the מבוי right, that fourth side is totally opened תעשו לטלטל בתוכו but now already you're not allowed to carry in the מבוי itself דין הוא שנחוף אותו לעשות תקנה להטיל לטלטל hey, you're ruining it for us. You cannot carry in the mavui, so then we can force him. אבל אין לנו לקופו לעשות תקנת תלתל מן הבתים ומן החצרות בתוכו. Which means, by a חצר, if you don't have a eruv, let's say, you could still carry stuff that was in the חצר already from before Shabbat. You just can't carry from the house into the חצר. Mm-hmm. So therefore, technically, it's not totally... It's not totally isur, which means when here there's no mechitzot bichlal, you can't go in the mavui at all. I'm carrying anything, even stuff that's in the mavui. Oh, in this case over there, okay, you're not going to hold us up. But shaken in the case of the chatzel, let's say, where the guy has what, you still have something you can do. So therefore, I can carry into stuff that was in the chatzel from before Shabbat. You can carry. You just can't go from the house now into the house. So that already, I'm not going to be lenient. That's the Gemara's chiluk according to that chita. Okay. Comes again a lot further. Itmar. Actually, there's a Lishna Harina here. If you look at the notes on the side, Masoret HaShas says, Shalosh Tevot Halalu Mishulale Havana LeMeod. They defy interpretation. Very hard to explain those next three words, he says. Ayin B'tikunei Kli Sharet V'ayim B'nei Parim Yerusha Me'alaka. Okay. Then he says in the Shas, Defus Vinitia, and Defus Saloniki, Litnihu, the words don't exist. So those words, it's like a Taut Sofer. If you look at the Hagot Tabach, in Aleph also he says, the Tevot, the Shna Acharina, Mitzad Shani, Nimhak, they're erased. The Maharav Ranchborg, he gives a whole interpretation to the Girsah, but it seems that the consensus of opinions is that those words are not part of the legitimate text. Okay, so we go to the Itmar. Itmar. Rav Chiya bar Asher Amar. Rav Chiya bar Asher said, Osin lehi Asherah. We have an interesting question.
You have an asherah. It's a tree that's used for avodah zara. It's a sur bahana'a. Can you use it as a lehi? Mm-hmm. You have a mavui, so you have to put the adjustment. You got to put the side post, right? So can you use an asherah as a lehi? So he comes along and says, you can. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer, osin korah asherah. He says you can make the you can use the asherah for the korah, the crossbeam. So the Gemara says, "Man damar korah." If you say you can use it for the korah, kocheken lehi. All the more so you can use it as a lehi. Uman damar lehi, but the one that says lehi, aval korah lo. But korah no, why? Katute mechtat shiure, because a asherah has to be burnt. The pasuk says ba'asherehen tisnefun ba'esh. So we have a law that says once something has to be burnt, it's considered already burnt. Chatute mechtat. Something that's burnt does not have a shi'ur. Right? How can something burnt have a shi'ur? It's gone. And therefore, the opinion that says that lehi is okay, korah no, because if you remember we learned earlier in the Masechet that a korah has to have a certain shi'ur of width, the amount to hold bricks, to put a brick on top of it. So it has to have a certain sturdiness to it. Okay? Certain thickness, certain width to it. So if you say chatute mechtat, it's chatute mechtat. Masha'en ken a lehi has no minimum. It can be very, very, even a mashu. So therefore, even if you say chatute mechtat, no problem. You don't need any shi'ur for the minimum. But the Tosfot says, yeah, that's for the minimum width, but you need it to be 10 tefachim high. So therefore, according to the opinion that wants to say that for a korah it's no good because chatute mechtat shi'ur, the shi'ur is burnt. But lehi is okay. What do you mean? You need a shi'ur of 10 tefachim? So the Beit Yosef asked this question as well. So the Beit Yosef answers like this. You have the height. Why? Because what is chatute mechtat? It's all ashes now. It's all burnt. But you have ashes that are piled on top of each other. So therefore, you still have the issue of it might narrow the width of the item, but still, bottom line, I got a bunch of ashes that are on top of each other, or wood pieces of wood that are on top of each other. So therefore, obviously, that's not considered a hana'a, the Hakamim are telling you, right? They're not hitting it from hana'a aspect. They have to say maybe you're not benefiting from mamashti. You know, the wood itself, it's a side hana'ah. In any event, let's read the Rashi inside. Lehi. I'm sorry, Kol Sheken Lehi. Second line Rashi. Third line now. The endless shiur l'rachbo ve'avyo. Right, you don't need no shiur for the thickness of the width. Aval korah, sirichat tefach. Right, it has to be at least a tefach thick, the kabel ariyah. Right, a brick ubri'ah. And it has to be strong, kedel kabel ariyah. So it has to have strength, and it also has to have width. It's like it's burnt. So therefore, on the top, if you hold that, you can use it for a korah. Then certainly you can use it for a lehi. But if you use it for a lehi, you cannot use it for a korah. So that's the machloket in that subject. All right, we'll go further. Comes the Mishnah and says further. Okay, now we're talking about you have shitufim mevuot. So you have a barrel of food. Okay, mezakeh for the whole all the chatzerot involved. But what happened? The food became minimized. We'll see exactly what is considered minimized. What's the minimum that you need, and then what's exactly, you know, what's the problem when it becomes minimized exactly? The Gemara will analyze that. So what do you do? Mosif. The Gemara has no problem. You can add more food to get to the shi'ur. Okay, we'll see exactly more details to this in the Gemara. Umezakeh. Now the extra that you added into the box, so you have to now mezakeh it to the members of the mavui.
Now, Gemara will analyze, why do I have to be mezaket? If already I got their permission, we'll have to see whose food you're using over here. If you're using your food, so then already by shetufet mevuot, using your own food, so already we saw in the last Mishnah, you still have to be mezaket to the other members.
Right.
Now, if you're using their food, chaura, you don't have to be mezaket at all. It's their food. Right. So now you're telling me over here, I was mezaket once. But now if I'm adding more food in there, so I have to be mezaket a second time, because it's new food, and in order for them to have a chalik in it, you have to make a gift it to them. Fine. So far it makes sense. Umezaket. Ve'en sarich lehodi'o. Now the Mishnah says, you do not have to inform them. Which means, even if you're using their food,
and you get that
food. Which means, let's say they put their food in a barrel. You had a collective pantry, right? Mm. So even if you're using their food, you do not have to tell them. Why? No, because they already agreed to it the first time. Which means, so now already you got the permission already to use their food the first time. You told them, okay, we have this collected barrel of everybody has a chelek in it. You mind joining in there too? We're all into it. Okay, beautiful. Now what happens somehow, isn't it ma'at? Now already has to add. So now already takes more of their own food and puts it in there. It's the Klodi Alam. Because once you get the permission the first time, it's okay. Good. Comes the Gemara's Mishnah continues. Nitosfu alehim. Let's say you got new dwellers in the Hatserot now. And now the shi'ur of the food is not enough for them. Now we're gonna see what the minimum is. But by adding new dwellers, you don't have the shirut anymore. So therefore, what's the deen? Mosif. So obviously you have to add some food for the new dwellers. Umizakeh. And you have to be mizakeh that chelek to them. Again, if he's using his own food. Or vitzarik lehodiya. If he's adding from their food, he obviously has to tell them. Because in this case over here, they never were in. This is the first time they're being mishtatef. Right? So far it makes sense. Comes the Mishnah and says, "Kama hu shi'uran?" What's the shi'ur? Bizman shehen mirubin. When there's a lot of members in the Hatserot, mezon shte se'udot lechulam. So all you need is the shi'ur of two se'udot. The Gemara will say what that is, and that covers unlimited amount of dwellers. Ubizman shehen muatim, but when you have a small amount of residents, kigrogeret, then already the size of a fig, lechol echad ve'had. So when you have maximum dwellers, then already shtei serudot covers everybody. Minimum dwellers, you need a kigrogeret of food for each member. Amar Rabbi Yosef says, when did we say all these dinim over here and these measurements? Bithilat eruv. Which this is talking about when you're making the eruv lechatahila. You know, week number one when you're establishing it. Abal b'shiyare eruv. But let's say you had the minimum shi'ur and you went into week one with the shi'ur and the eruv hit. And now what happened? The shi'ur became diminished. Oh, that's called shi'ari eruv. Then he says, kol shi'u. Then he says you don't need to replenish. So long as you have a kol shi'u, you don't even have to add. So therefore, according to this opinion, Rabbi Yosef, he's arguing with Tanakama. Mm-hmm. Tanakama said you always have to have the minimum. And therefore, if it dwindled, you have to be mosif. Whereas Rabbi Yosef is coming along to say, no, you only need the minimum going in. Once you went in with the minimum shi'ur, you're covered. It dwindled, you got a kol shi'ur left, you're okay. And why does he say this? Because we have a leniency when it comes to eruv hasirot. What's the leniency? He says, ve'lo amru le'arev b'hasirot, ela kedei shelo l'shekeach et ha'tinokot. If you remember, we saw this opinion earlier. This opinion of Yosef holds, once you make shetufei mevuot, you don't have to make eruv hasirot. Eruvei Hatzerot is covered by your shituf. Once I joined in the Mavui, automatically the Hatzerot are considered adjusted. Oh, so then why do you have to make Eruvei Hatzerot? It's only for the Tinokot, for the children. They're going to see you carrying the Hatzer, They're going to say, oh, we're carrying the chaser without any adjustment. So therefore, in order not to forget the tikkun of Eruvei Chatzot, the rabbis made you do it. But what? Since already you see that they can be covered with Eruvei Chatzot, even without the special tefillin from the law, so therefore, if your Eruv dwindled, we're not going to be so mahmir. If you went into the Eruv with the right shiur, now already it became small, don't worry about it. But that comes out, now that comes out that will only be lenient in a case where you made a shituf. In a case where you made a shituf, then your Eruv b'chatzarot dwindled down to nothing, it's okay. But if you didn't make a shituf mevuot according to the Biyoseh, then already Eruv b'chatzarot is min adin. So therefore we're not going to be lenient. But Eruv b'chatzarot doesn't cover shituf. Well, it was machloka, we said, if it goes on under that way also. So look at that sheet. Let's read that sheet on the whole Mishnah. מתנעת האוכל משיעורו ולכמה מפרש שיעור הדמתניתי. Again, I'm not going to explain what it is. ואינו צריך להודיע, you don't have to tell the person, שערי כולן התרסו בתחילה. Because when they agreed in the beginning, it's their food, they agreed in the beginning, and diminished, you added more of their food, you don't have to ask permission. However, when a new guy comes in, צריך להודיע, לדיורים שנתוספו, to the new members. אם דעתן בערוב, אורגות שמערב משלהן. Again, we're using their food. ותאמה פריש שתאהל, and he explained above, why you have to get the permission. We learned that in the Amud Rishon. Because everybody has to be part of the ערוב, has to be willing to let everybody eat their ערוב. Now if a guy, he doesn't give us permission, maybe he doesn't want anybody to eat. If he doesn't want to eat it, then it's not considered part of it. ותאלתי קטני מוסיק מזכה, אם משלום מערב, וסיק לודיע משלום מערב. When the Mishnah says, מזכה ומודיע, it's two separate cases. Mizakeh, if it's
yours.
His food, that he's mizakeh to others. Modiya, if it is their food. So that she says, it's tarte, it's two separate cases. Continue. Merubin mu'atim mefaresh b'gemara, shiire eruv, shenitna'et m'shi'uro, that's going to be Yosef, when the eruv became minimized, potiu, en sarich le'osif, v'rabbi Yosef panika tanakama. Right, Rabbi Yosef argues on tanakama. לא אמרו לערב בחסרות לאחר שנשתתפו. The only reason why they said you have to make it ערבי חסרות after you made שיתופי מבואות is אלא כדי שלא לשקח תורת ערבי חסרות מהתינוקות המין הלקח מכירים בה. Therefore we lenient on ערבי חסרות that if it was מתמעט, don't worry about it. But that's again only in a case where you made a שיתוף. But if you didn't make a שיתוף, then the ערבי חסרות has its original statute that you have to keep a minimum shiur. Now we go to the Gemara. Gemara says like this. B'may askinan. What are we talking about? Meaning we said if the shiur of the eruv dwindled, I'm reading Rashi. Deketari benitma'et en sarich lehodiya. You don't have to inform anybody. Ha-kalel legamri tzarich lehodiya. Implying what? That only when it diminished a little and you're adding more of their food, you don't have to tell them, because we said the logic is what? They agreed once. Implying what? Only because it diminished. But if let's say the whole eruv got eaten, then already you have to tell them. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the case? What's the scenario? B'may askin. Ilema b'min echad. If we're talking about the same species, let's say you made the eruv with the figs, all the figs were eaten, now you're making an eruv again with more of their figs. May iriyan nitma'et. Why do you have to give me a case of nitma'et where you don't have to get their permission? Afilu kala nameh. Even if it totally got eaten, bottom line, they gave you permission with figs already. So therefore the implication is what? You can use the figs already. If you're using the same mean, there should be no difference between the tma'et, or the whole thing became eaten. Ela b'shne minin. Also, we're talking about different species, meaning you started off with figs, now you want to use their wine. So the Gemara says, wait, afilu the tma'et namelo. Then even if it was the tma'et, you got to get the permission. Because now you're using new goods. Netanya, and we have a braita. It says, Kaleha ochel mimin echad. If, let's say, the food got diminished in totality, or as she says, at this point we're thinking even nitma'et, ein tzarich lehodiyah, because he's using the same species. However, mibet minim tzarich lehodiyah. So basically, now we're coming back to the Gemara. What's the case of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Iba etema mimin ehad, iba etema mishne minim." I can answer you. It's either talking about one min or two min. I have two options. Iba etema mimin ehad. I can explain to them about the same mean. My nitma'et. What does it mean when it says in the Mishnah nitma'et? It means nitmatmit. What does that mean? Oh, so that she says nitmatmit kale legamri, which means very good. When it's the same mean in chirame, even if it totally got eaten, since you're using the same mean, you don't have to ask them. So that's like in the Mishnah. Because remember the Gemara's question, the Gemara was, if it's nitma'et and it's mean ehad, why only nitma'et, even kula? The Gemara's saying, you're right, nitma'et actually means nitmatmet, meaning the whole thing. V'iba'etema mishne minim. Oh, I can tell you, no. Our Mishnah's talking about shne minim. Kale shani. Because there's a difference. Our Mishnah is only talking about nitma'et. When it's nitma'et by shne minim, you don't have to ask the permission. Because you're only adding a small amount. Mm-hmm. Even though you're changing the mean, it's okay. The braita, when it said shne minim tzarich le'odi'o, it said a specific case. Kaleh. It talked about where it's totally finished. Originally we thought the braita didn't make a haluk between kaleh and nitma'et. Now we're saying, no, when the Braita said Kaleh, it means it was totally finished. And therefore, the Mishnah can be talking about what? Shnei minim, nitma'et. Do you have to ask permission? And Sarich Lodiyo. Even by two minim. But the Braita that said Sarich Lodiyo is totally Kaleh. That's where they answer that. Right. Comes Gemara and continues. Nitosfu alehen mosifu mezakeh. So what did the Mishnah say? If let's say you got new dwellers in the Hatzer, in the Mavui. So you got to add goods, and you have to be mezakeh for them. And if you're taking their food, you have to let them know. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Chizda. Zot omeret. From this Mishnah we can learn Halukin alav haverav al Rabbi Yehuda. From this Mishnah we see that the rabbis argued on Rabbi Yehuda. What are we talking about? The Tnan. We have a Mishnah later on. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda taught. Bamed devarim amurim. When do we say that you have to make an Eruv? When you make an Eruv, you have to do it. The Dato has to be to his knowledge. I mean, you have to let the guy know. Be'eruvet tehumin. Because when it comes to Eruvet Tehomin, maybe the guy doesn't want to walk, you're limiting him in one direction. So Eruvet Tehomin, you definitely have to inform the guy that you want to make it. Aval, Be'eruvet Hatzerot, when it comes to Eruvet Hatzerot, Me'arvin ben Leda'at, ben Shelo Leda'at. When it comes to Eruvet Hatzerot, whether the guy knows about it, or whether the guy doesn't know about it, it's okay. Why? Logic being, it's Noah for him. It's a Zechut for him. Which means, why do I have to tell him? Now the guy's able to carry. Now, when it comes to our Mishnah, what did our Mishnah say? Tzarich lehodiyo. Oh, so go slow. So the Gemara and our Mishnah said what? You have to let the guy know. What do you mean? This must be arguing on the Yehuda. Because the Yehuda said when it comes to Eruveh Hatzerot, even Shenomidat. So the Gemara says from here we see that the rabbis of this Mishnah are arguing on Rabbi Yehuda later on that says by Rabbi Hatzerot en sarich lehodiyo. So comes the Gemara and says pshita de halukin. What says? What do you mean? It's obvious. So the Gemara says no, it's not obvious. Ma'u detema hani mili behatzer sheben shne mevuot. Aval Hatzer shel mavui echad emalo kamash ma'lan. Let's analyze what's being said here. Look at Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Dibura matil zot omeret halukin. Zot omeret halukin. must be that they're arguing delo tema hay bamed devarim lefirushe ateh, which means that which Rabbi Yehuda said bamed devarim amurim, that's his opinion. Don't think it's the rabbi's opinion. That's his opinion explaining his own shita that says what eruve hatzurot does not need da'at to the other members. במדרים דסריך דעת בעירובי תחומים שמה אין נוח לא לקנות כאן כדי להפסיד לנוח שכנגדה. בעירובי תחומים, he doesn't want to lose the other side. So therefore you have to let him know. So Gemara says, פשיטה דשמעינן מיני דחלוקין דהה בעירובי חצרות נקית ואתה וכתארי צריך להודיע. But of course he's arguing. Our Mishnah clearly says, עירובי חצרות צריך להודיע. So comes Gemara and says, Rashi, מהו דתמה לעולם רבי יהודה בההוא מפרש הוא ומתניתין דאחה בחצר שבין שני מבואות, which means our Mishnah, I'll tell you like this, you have a חצר, it's between two מבואות, דלא ידעינן בהי ניחלה, in a case where you don't know which מבוא the guy's going to walk into, so now already he can oser it, which means you don't know if he's going to go into the right mavui or he's going to go into the left mavui. So they're ready. You have to tzarich lodi'o. You're going to have to inform the guy in order to know exactly which haser he is part of. So it could be in that case where you don't know which mavui the guy is going to walk into, where he has the ability to oser, then tzarich lodi'o that you're mishtatifing him in one side. Masha'enkin, in the case later on, I could argue in the case that what? In a regular one mavui area. Then the Yehuda will say, it's a zechut for them. En tzarich lodi'o. Which could be weak. I would make a chiluk between the cases. Kamash mahlan that what? That the Yehuda says, you never tzarich lodi'o. Which means like this. When you have a chatzir, that's on two mivu'ot. Now, you have a new dweller that joins into the one of the chatzirot. So I'll tell you, maybe in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, tzarich lehodiya. You know why? Because once, what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? Why in tzarich lehodiya generally? Because it's a zechut for the guy. But in this case, it's not a zechut for the guy. Because once you join him on one side of the mavui, you're forbidding him now to the other mavui. Which is when there's one mavui, it's definitely zechut for him. Even though it's his food, it doesn't matter. It's his advantage for me to take that food and mezakeh for him so he can carry it. He wants to carry in the mavui. Mm-hmm. However, in this case where it's ben shtei hatzerot, I might have argued and said what? That the Yehuda will say it's not a full zechut over here. Yes, granted, it is somewhat of a zechut and it says now he can carry at least one of the mavut because otherwise he couldn't carry at all. But you know what? It's a zechut on this side, but maybe the guy wanted to carry on the other side. So therefore, I would have thought that in that case, that's the case of the Mishnah. And I would have said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees what? Tzarich lehodi'o. Kamash ma'alan halukin alav haverav al Rabbi Yehuda. That the argument, even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, en tzarich lehodi'a. Why? Because bottom line, since there is a zechute, because bottom line, he is allowed to carry in that mavui that you mishtatefed him with, en tzarich lehodi'o. So that's the kamash ma'alan that Rav Shizbi is teaching us.
Okay.
Which means that, exactly, which means our Mishnah is not one mavu, and still the rabbis say, tzarich lehodi'a. Even if it's 100% zechut for the guy, there's no downside. Still, tzarich lehodi'a.
But if there's two mevuot, the Rabbi Yehuda would agree.
No,
that means we might still agree. We just told me that.
Yeah, right. Right. Okay, fine. Right. Which means, right, exactly. Which is Al Mishnah talking about that case over there. And on that, Halukin Alav Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So I want to read that inside again. The gentleman just to get the Gemara, get Lashon, give a little clarity. Then we'll go further. The rest is quick. אבל רב שיזבי אמר רב חסדה, זאת אומרת, from our Mishnah we see what? חלוקין עליו חברה רבי יהודה, we see that what? The rabbis, our Mishnah are going to be with that, that's what we learned later on, אמר רבי יהודה, ובמה דברים אמורים, when do we say that what? הנה דעת ברובי תחומים, אבל ברובי חצרות, when it comes to רובי חצרות, בין לדעת, בין שלא לדעת, which means whether he knows about it, or whether he doesn't know about it, because bottom line, it's a zechut for him, and there is no hefsed. So therefore, we can assume that what he wants to be mishtatek with the eruv, therefore you do not have to tell him. But our mishnah said what? You do have to tell him. So therefore, must be there's a machlok. It's gevuras vurim. Shita the halukim. No, it's obvious. Amishta says sarich lo diyan. The Biyuda says you don't. If you didn't tell me that, I would have said like this. Ani mine. When do we say our mishnah? That in Tzadik Leodiyah is Davka B'chatzeh Shemen Shtei Mevo'ot. It's also about we have B'chatzeh Shtei Mevo'ot, where it's not a definite Zechud. So then already I'll tell you Tzadik Leodiyah, Aval B'chatzeh Shemavu Yechad, but maybe in a case where it's one Mevo, it's definitely Zechud, Emalo. Kamash Malan, that what? That our Mishnah is even talking about Mavuy Echad, and the rabbis of the Mishnah hold that what? Still, Tzarich Lehodiyom. Comes the Gemara and says, Kama Hu Shi'uro. Okay, now let's go. If you have a lot of members in the Chatzerot, right? We said if you have a lot of members, so how much do you have to have? We said Shtei Se'udot. Right, that's the for the maximum shiurim, right? So give us this. How much is considered a lot of members in the chatzerot? Amar v'dam ha'shuel shemoni asle bnei adam. Because once you have 18 members or more, you get away with two seudot. So the Gemara says shemoni asle v'tula 18 and no more. So give us no. Ema mishmoni asle va'elach from 18. Means 18 already and on, you get the shiur of Shtei Se'udot. So the Gemara says, "Umay Shena Shuna Hashem Nakat." Where'd you get 18 from? What's the shiur over there? Amar Yitzchak Ben Rav Yehuda, Ledidi Mefashe Bemineh De Abba. He says, "I got the interpretation by my father Rav Yehuda, and he said like this: Kol Sheilu Mehalekolim Zon Shtei Se'udot Benehen." Ve'en magat girogeret nechol echad ve'echad, hen merubin. Ve'sageh b'mzon shtei se'udot. Which is the rule is like this. If let's say you would take mazon shtei se'udot, and you'd split up mazon shtei se'udot amongst the dwellers of the Hatzerot, and you would not get a girogeret, let's say a fig's worth, nechol echad ve'echad, so then already that's considered merubin. So then already you go with Shtei Se'udot. The second of Shtei Se'udot. Finish, you don't have to be machmit to get it for each one. However, V'ila, but let's say you have less than that. Which means you can get a grogeret for each member. Then already Mu'atin, it was considered Mu'at. And therefore you have to give them each a grogeret's worth. So basically up to 18, where you can give them each a grogeret's worth. Of food, you have to take a grogeret. Once you have 18 or more, where mazon shtei se'udot, you can't split it up into 18 grogeret each one. That's okay, ready? Then already, that's considered merubin, and we're not mahmir to give more than that. So what's the hadush? The Gemara says, "Ve'agav urche." Incidentally, we learned the hadush. Kamash ma'alan de shtei se'udot havyan shmonei se grogot. Now you know the shiur of shtei se'udot. Shtei se'udot equals 18 grogot. And therefore, let's just review quickly. When you have 18 dwellers or more, if you split your shtei se'udot into 18 parts, it's not going to be ready enough to go around for every member one grogeret. That can be more lenient. It's eruvin of his, it's only the rabbanan item. So therefore, they say, you know what? Take your shtei se'udot, that's the maximum number we're going to make you take. However, anything less than that, then already you got to go for one grogrot per kasa. So the maximum amount, you're not going more than 18 grogrot as the maximum shiur of a eruv. Once you get to 18, you're covered much more than that. That's what it means, merubin, 18 or more. Mu'atin is less than 18. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen.